Hello there, fellow humans. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Jessica Jost, and this is Interview with You. Today, not yet with you, today with Monika Guillaume Weiglova. Monika is a psychotherapist certified in the Gabor Mate's Compassionate Inquiry Approach and practicing a holistic way of trauma healing. She comes to talk about the relationships from the professional point of view and explains how important is the connection of the body, spirit, and mind and how to achieve it, at least at times. Also about what your parents did to you and how it is not their fault, and much more. So, let's go! Hello and welcome to my podcast. Today I have a very precious guest. Her name is Monika Guillaume Weiglova. I have known her for quite a bit. She is my teacher in a way, and we spent kind of a lot of time together in women's circles and other things. We will get back to it later. Monika is a therapist, so today we will have opinion and point of view of a specialist on relationships. So welcome, Monika. Thank you very much for coming.
Hello, Yanyi, and thank you for welcoming me and introducing me as well and inviting me.
My pleasure. I would like to start to introduce you a little bit because I find it fascinating, your professional journey, because you started originally as a Jungian therapist, right?
I started as a psychologist, like studying psychology at university, and after I did 5 years of Katatim imaginative psychotherapy, which is like based on Jungian psychology.
But I know that you also keep educating yourself, keep growing, keep expanding also what I find like not really a traditional psychotherapy, because I know you do yoga, you kind of, I really love it how you put together all different things. And for me as a client, I really love it that it's not just, oh, I read a book about chakras, so I know everything, but I know that you are educated, you are a really proven therapist, but at the same time you also include chakras and stuff like this. And I know that you are a big fan and follower, and also you are certified in the approach of Gabor Mate.
I am.
You are? Can you tell us a little bit about it, about you know, the approach as such? How is it different to what you actually studied at the university? And how is it different to the standard therapy?
Well, like, I'm thinking of what is interesting for your audience and what is important to say, but I'm including like Kundalini yoga. So when you mentioned chakras, like, it's coming from Kundalini yoga. And this is something what is close to my heart, what is close to my spiritual growth, let's say. Like, it's somehow I feel the need include body, mind, and spirit. Like, it's a unity, like how we're growing and how we were born as well. And so I'm including all this like physiological polyvagal theory, nervous system theory, like, and yoga, which is including all this aspect according me and leading us to the truth. So I feel like it's connected, and I always felt the call to the truth, as I believe all of us are looking for, like, the truthful self and our essence. So it started with psychology, it continued with the psychotherapy, art therapy, and imaginations, and as well I did a little bit of astrology connection, like, with psychotherapy during my studies of psychology. And later on, like, it was developing through the expressive art, like movement, dance therapy. I did different dance dances. And I was called into following body, because I believe body is bringing the truth, body is the unconscious manifested in our life. And so many of the psychotherapists and us as psychologists are a lot in head and working with the mind and following concepts, patterns. And I feel like what is crucial is getting back to the roots, getting back to our body.
It's and true
I'm open to this.
That in fact, now in retrospective, I think you were the first person who actually injected in my head the idea that I should connect with my body, like, because you know, I think the best that many people, and maybe we could say everybody, at least in the Western society, is completely disconnected from their bodies, that we kind of detach, and it's a shame. And so thanks to you, I can now connect better with my body and work on it. And so this is also a big part of the approach of Gabor Mate, right?
Because the disconnection is the survival, like how we survived in our childhood, and the disconnection from our body was somehow important for us, because through our adaptations and coping mechanisms, like, we survived the disconnect from our original, like, attachment person, who wasn't available to be there, fully attuned to us, fully attuned to our emotions and following our body sensations, our inner wisdom. And that's why we had to disconnect from it, because somebody started telling us what we should do, how we should be, and we felt like we're not acceptable as we are. And we disconnected from the inner wisdom, from the unity of the three brains what we have in our body. And it's not just a brain like in our head, but it's as well brain around our heart and brain in our intestines. So this unity of those three brains is something what is very important to stay in contact with our instincts and with our intuition.
Yeah, and to trust it also. I feel that this is important to find your way back into your, as you say, like, core or your original setting. But also, so the original setting, let's call it this way, was when we were little children, and then we most of the time lose touch with it.
So when we were born as the, like, the little seed in us, like, was the original light, and we were, like, clear and tabula rasa, and there was no coping mechanism, there was no adaptation yet.
Because it was not necessary. But then, okay, so if you give an example, let's say, for, you know, so that everybody understands, what is an example of what can happen in, like, to the little child that they get disconnected from their clear essence?
So basically, when you come and you are not wanted baby, you're not expected baby, and you are in the womb, and you start feeling the stress of the mother that she doesn't want you. And there is already, like, part of you is the essence, the light which never disappears, the, like, the sparkle which brought you here. But there is as well, like, this part already from the fear and from the stress, from the mother transmitting to you. And you feel like you're not wanted already in the womb. And there it might start already, this kind of adaptation that, like, accepting, okay, there is something wrong with me. Okay. And this is something where we might start disconnecting already from this essence, from the light.
Let's say that I was a wanted baby, I was told. But still, in adulthood, I was disconnected. So why? Tell me why.
It's for all each of us, it's a little bit different story, obviously, because we have different roots and our families have different roots and our ancestors, but all of us are the children of parents after the war, and there was the strong survival mode, and it's more important than thriving, paying attention to our needs and emotional needs. And this is part of the children development, like to fulfill the emotional needs, what they have to be seen and accepted as they are. And there was not capacity from most of parents like to see children that way. And they were taught different way to treat children, like when they cry, or you know, like how it was about breastfeeding and stories about picking up kids or not picking up kids when they cry from the bed, and separation after the birth, and really start even the preparation for birth, the important to be connected, emotionally connected, attuned to the baby. Most of the mothers, because of the system, and as Gabor wrote the book, it's of normal. What is normal is totally abnormal. It's totally disconnected from nature. So mothers who are expecting babies are like loaded with stress and working all the time, and they are not attuned to the baby anymore. And they are fearful of the giving birth. And it's like totally disconnected from nature. Even the birth conditions, it's recently, it's getting much better. And wonderful, like that we're following the nature a little bit more now, but it was not like that. For example, for us, for our generation, when we were born, we were separated from our mothers most of the time. Breastfed like every 3 hours, you know, not
on the when
you
schedule,
ask for it.
Not when we need it, but when it was suitable for others. So this is something that then translates.
The authority. It's not suitable for others. I feel like it was really the authority of the doctors. Like they say, like this is the right way. And you know how communists were in Czech Republic, for example. We have to follow the authority. And this is the traumatization. And we are following blindly, like somebody order and not our wisdom, inner wisdom. And this is the disconnection. So when people were disconnected and our parents were disconnected, they couldn't follow the intuition and the inner wisdom what they have. So they followed some rules. And we were like not able to be listened, to be seen as we are, as what we need. Like, and starts with the breastfeeding, it starts with the sleep, with the connection to be close to the heart of the mother, to be held, to be attuned. Because the child essence, and as you are, you can mirror yourself and your light can be just reflected somewhere, but if you don't have any clear mirror, you cannot reflect anywhere and you cannot see yourself clearly. And if you look into the broken mirror, you see parts of you, but you don't see the clear essence of you.
You don't see the real you. If we then disconnect in the early childhood from our needs, it's in order to be accepted, right? That we kind of like mute parts of ourselves in order to fulfill wants and desires of our parents. Say, don't cry, be quiet. So you suppress your emotions and you stop crying, and then you take this into the adulthood with you. Is that right?
Basically, Gabor made it very clearly and nicely, like into the world, like what psychologists before him were talking about, like, and he made the concept of attachment versus authenticity very clear. So you have to choose, because you have those two like irreducible needs, like, you know, attach, like all mammals need to be attached to be able to grow up. So we need somebody. We need the close person to grow up with. And this is our need. But as well, there is the other need to be authentic and to be as we are and to be seen as we are and to express our authenticity. But if those two needs in childhood get in conflict, which will happen, obviously, it's clear when we need to survive which one has to go away.
Yeah.
It's the authenticity which we have to suppress, and those emotions and parts of us are still living in us, and they're making the
noise sound
for our life. Yes.
Okay. I know that a way to deal with it is, as you taught me or showed me, is to kind of try to get in touch with those parts that were a little bit suppressed or along the way. And there are many of them. Well, depending on the person, of course. But what I loved about the approach that you teach is that you say, because people then tend to, this stupid part is making me do this or making me do that or making me cry. But your approach is like, get in touch with the part and be thankful. Thank that part that it protected you or that took care of you in the way that was needed at the time. And as you always say, these parts were there for a reason or were suppressed for a reason. To protect us is always what you say. Is that right?
Kind of. Like, basically, if I put it into the words of Gabor Mate, like the compassionate inquiry approach, it's about like all what, when the authenticity in childhood had to go, we're reconnecting through trauma, which all of us are traumatized. Each of us had to suppress ourselves in some way and to become a little bit inauthentic. And we learned certain coping mechanisms and adaptations in childhood, how to survive. And those like coping mechanisms and adaptations became our, let's say, coat, like which we put on in the winter of the childhood to be warm and to be safe. But this same coat is staying with us unconsciously, even when it's very hot right now, for example, and we don't recognize this coat, that we still have it on, this winter coat. And we're like sweating, and we're like, oh my gosh, it's killing me. And we don't know that it's this coat, which we developed to survive in childhood.
And now, off,
yeah, we don't know. And now we can kind of compassionately getting know what is it? Mm-hmm. What is it like? This mosaic of this, the patchwork of this coat made of, which parts are creating it and what are they protecting and what the child that time really needed? What kind of attuned parent was missing there? And how can I be the attuned parent? And basically now we want our adult self, like our wisdom self, to be the ideal parent for the child, like what we needed as a children, to become for those hidden exile parts, to come there and save them, bring them up from the past to the present, to the safety, like to the safe place, let's say, and give them what they needed. See the protection as the companion, as somebody who was like serving us. But right now it's maybe time to rest a bit, and you know, we can talk to those parts and be thankful, as you said. But at the same time, to build trust and the capacity of ourselves now to be there for ourselves, for our emotions, for our processes.
So what you say, and I find it very smart, to inform the code or these parts that are trying to protect us that we are no longer children, and we can take responsibility and we have the capacity and freedom now to care for ourselves actually, and to go out into the world and not to be hidden there under the rock and coat and everything like that.
Yeah, but sometimes we need to create the separation. They don't even know that there is some self, adult self. And it's like, oh, okay, maybe. And we have to develop that relationship, like, you know, not show up once and, you know, okay, so I give you this care. Like, they need to build the trust this in any relationship.
The first time I met you, it was in a training for anger in parenthood. I attended that course because I was angry in parenthood, and so I was starting the journey to get rid of it. And in the end, I concluded for myself and many times after that, that in fact, all the emotions, all the troubles that bother me or bother others, that it all always boils down to the childhood. This attachment.
Then the children are the best teachers because they bring like exactly what we needed. So before we react to our children, like it's bringing us back to ourselves and it's bringing us to the point where we need the nourishment.
It's exactly like this. And the relationships we have with our caregivers or not caregivers in some cases, do we then transport this relationship into other relationships?
Always. Basically the attachment style, like what we set up is the pattern in childhood, what we know we're bringing up after, like unconsciously, to all relationships what we create in our life, like friendships, love relationships, and obviously like to the closest relationships with children and our spouses, like it's always coming there, the pain what we had. So often like clients are coming to me and, you know, like my partner is doing to me exactly what my mother was doing to me.
Yeah.
So it's happening, yeah. And because we have some styles of attaching, like some idle attachment is the secure attachment.
What does it mean in practice? I want my children to have a secure attachment with me and in the future with their wives, happy wives. What should I do and what I shouldn't do? Tell me.
I would say that the first thing is like to work on yourself, like to have a like secure attachment back to your place, like yourself with your parts, to be securely attached to your own emotions. That's the basic. Like after we can offer the secure attachment to our children when we know our parts, when we are curious, because it's never done this work, you know, like it's not like, oh, okay, so I'm 20 years, I'm psychologist and I'm doing the work with parts and I have everything perfect with my children and I'm just a perfect mother, you know, and no, it's not working like this. It's basically, if I'm staying curious and this is the state of being, I would say, like, oh, okay, what is this? You know, like, which part is activated right now? And this is more about the curiosity and not being the part, but being curious which part is activated, which part of me is here instead of me, instead of the Monica, like, acting right now. What is turned on? And this is it, like secure attachment means that we are attuned to ourselves, we are attuned to kids, like through like our emotional brains, through our instincts, our like all three brains. And it's not going through just the rational head. You know, like, yeah, I'm giving you everything, you know, like all this education, the time I'm spending with you, because I have homeschoolers, so I can say, like, you know, all the time I'm with them. But physical time doesn't mean much, like if we are on the computers or phones and they don't have the eye contact, this is the most important, to be emotionally there. And for example, when my dad passed away 2 years ago, like, there was not easy time for me, and it's not easy time for me. And I felt like how I'm not emotionally available for my children. Like, there was a lot of things. And I would say it's happening in general, like in life, this grief and loss, it's happening in our life in cycles, because this is what the loss of authenticity is. Like, there is the loss of the relationship. There is the loss of safety. So whenever we shout at our children and whenever they are not feeling safe, this is already the loss. And there is part of the authenticity when the fear is coming from the caring person. Like, when I'm fearful of this same person who is taking care of me, this is it. There is the gap. And if you don't make it better, like, you know, hey, I'm sorry, like, I got like this authentic as well. And we have to close, you know, like the conflict and talk about it. But if we make it like, you know, let's go, and we never talk back about that, that's the thing. Like, obviously, we're not perfect.
I feel our childhood maybe was a bit similar because it was at about the same time and at the same place. And I feel I've been thinking a lot about, like, if my parents would be able to say sorry for some stuff, you know, not like now, I mean, now, whatever, I have you to take care of me, but more then, you know, this is what I try to do with my kids. If I really, it was too much and I shout or, you know, whatever, I'm not nice to them, then I say I'm sorry. And I think that this like repairing a little bit the relationship or trying to explain, so yeah, it was, you know, you were all talking at the same time at me and I just it was too much, so I'm sorry, I exploded. That I think if my parents did it for me when I was a child, it would be, it would make a lot of difference. This is how I feel, how my inner child, all my inner children feel this way. So that's what I find important. And what other, like, what, so you said the
Secure attachment
is the ideal, and then there are also other ones which are not ideal. So how do they work?
The unsecure is like the avoidant, that we're emotionally avoiding, stand in the not available for the child. You know, like there is nobody to be attuned. So after in adulthood, like it's somebody in the partnership who is not there, basically not offering emotional connection. And that's what you know from childhood as well, like from this kind of avoidant, unsecure attachment. Another is disorganized. It's called like sugar and like hitting, you know, like the
inconsistent.
Inconsistent, super nice, like usually narcissistic features are like this, you know, like super harsh, and they don't remember after, like this anger, rage, and they're like asking you if you want pancakes right after that, they shout at you, you know. So it's like this disorganized attachment, and after there is this anxious, ambivalent, insecure, resistant. Like usually the anxious one who is like saying yes to everything to be accepted is connecting. People pleaser is connected with the avoidant one, you know. So this is very often in couples, you know, one is the avoidant, emotionally avoiding. Like, I don't want to be involved because it's dangerous to be emotionally connected and trust. I don't know how it is. And the second one is the anxious one who is like, oh, I do anything for you, like just to be accepted. And that's very often this pattern.
This is then how it shows up in the relationships. And then what, if the anxious one would say, okay, I've had enough, I'm finishing this, then the distant one would show the interest for a little bit, right?
It's very often this way, basically without getting consciously know what happened to us, like how it was in our childhood and what we needed as a children. The curiosity, I would say, is the cure for everything, because when you are curious about your parts, what is like awaken in the relationship with your partner, with your children, and you go and mindfully pay attention to your body and start like working on this sensations through yoga, movement, dance, getting know your nervous system, how you react, when these reactions are, when these emotions are awakened, what is happening, and okay, so this part is activated, what this part is protecting, and what happened, and what needs my attention. And you know the work with inner child after. So I would say it's always awakened in close relationships. But it's always possible to be mindful and curious and go to the body and go back to it. And okay, let's see what we have here.
What we can do. What I love about what you're saying is, like, when I first heard you saying this, which was, I don't know,
2020, I think.
even before, no, I think it was even before COVID, yeah, so it could have been 2020. I had no clue what you are talking about. If you said, you know, when you said, where is it in the body? I said, what? What? What is she talking about? And but you know, you had your ways, and I'm so forever grateful, because now really when you say where is it in the body, I know, you know. And that's like, that's, you know, just it's just for those who are like me in 2020 and don't know what Monica is talking about, it's like it's a lot of meditation or like the body scan. This is, I remember, was very wow, really just lie down and feel your feet one day after another. And then now when I'm angry, I know exactly where it is. So it's possible. Even if you don't know what Monica is talking about, you can learn. So, and it's absolutely worth it. It's really great.
But all of us are disconnected, and each of us in different like scales. So sometimes it takes longer. Sometimes it's difficult like to start trusting, you know, because there is the protection from body. It was place of war, but it was danger. So to
no, I think that I'm super, super slow. I would say that most people would probably get connected more quickly than me. It doesn't have to take 4 years. It depends. Oh, yeah, you have more experience than me, and I just don't want that people give up because it took me 4 years. You know. But no, it was gradual. So like after 2-3 months, I already knew more than at the beginning. Now I'm much more in touch with myself. But I was wondering about the, you know, the relationship therapist client. How does this work with all the, you know, is it like that you are a therapist and then when a client comes to you on individual therapy, is it like you have no attachment issues anymore ever and you are like the clean slate for the client? Does it work like this?
I wish. But I'm always saying, like, if we are just a clear mirror, like, we don't need physical bodies. So all of us have parts, and it's not like each client is waking different parts of us. And each of the client is bringing different issue back to me in different layers. And obviously important for me is to have a space to connect and to be idly acting from the self, that I can mirror the essence. So being there from the essence. But it doesn't mean that the parts are not coming to the session. And the thing is to keep like the state of mind of what I was talking about, to be curious what is awakening inside of me and what is present. And after each session, like to recapitulate, like which parts were present from myself, like with this client, and to give them the validation and give them the acceptance and like wish them well. Re-traumatizing is like to say, like, I don't feel this and I'm doing, you know, this is the trauma, like that we don't feel. And be free to feel is the opposite of trauma. So that's the constant work in our life and in our in therapy. And the client is coming to create the idle attachment what they were missing in childhood. So the therapist ideally should be the one who is attuned, who is there to be curious what is awakened in him and what is happening, and to see clearly the client without his agenda. So to be careful to not have the agenda and to be aware what is happening and act from the self, as we're teaching clients, as it's idle with our children, as it's idle with our partners, like to be aware.
It's not easy, I imagine, but I think it's very good to have a therapist who is aware of all these risks.
And to have therapist who is aware of body, like what is happening always, you know, not in the head, who is not coming, like I have solution for everything, but being connected.
Deep.
Basically, body remembers everything, like because our preverbal memories and all from prenatal, like, is saved in our nervous system. and it's wired in us, like in our tissues. And that's why I'm doing the therapeutic yoga, trauma conscious yoga, and I feel like this is the way to work. I'm connecting the parts work, and I love it, with somatic work, like with dance and movement.
All is connected.
And you never run from yourself.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Okay, is there anything else you would like to say as a message to the listeners? From a therapist or from you as a person, from one of your parts, from all your parts.
Maybe like to, when you're looking for a therapist, like to keep your intuition open and to be like really that you find human at the first place, who is like, you know, it doesn't have to be the first person who suits you. And it's normal to say like, okay, we try, but there is not the mutual connection, and it's okay to say no and to learn during the life saying no and to accept like our inner voice and the wisdom of the trauma is the thing where we're going.
The wisdom of the trauma sounds a bit like Gabor Mate. surprisingly
but Gabor put everything together, because I was studying before with Daniel Siegel and all this parts work, and he put it everything together for me, like what I felt like. So you know that I was teaching the unconscious parenting courses and all these things, and it felt like all this mindfulness approach and Buddhism and somatic work, somatic psychology, polyvagal nervous system, theory, and all this just got all together with his approach. So yes, I'm grateful for this.
Another message is read Gabor Mate. He has a lot to say, that's for sure.
Yeah,
it's very interesting, and he has lots of also experience, like his childhood was also very moving. So
definitely, and he knows how to present it to the world. I believe that it's time for him, like that he changed the paradigm of trauma a lot. He helped to change the paradigm that trauma is not what happened to us, but trauma is what happened inside of us and how it's wired. Like,
and what didn't happen also, right?
And what didn't happen, what we needed and wasn't there. It's simplified from him, but it's something that is very compassionate, as he is like as person very open and authentic, and I believe it's the language like which most of people like can understand, and very nicely put.
On that note, thank you very much, Monica, for your time and for your trouble. It was lovely to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me and talking to me.
My pleasure. Bye.
Bye.
So, that went well. Thanks for joining us today in Interview with You. I hope you enjoyed the time as much as we did, and that it brought something positive to your day and to your life. Don't forget to get in touch if you want to be my next guest or if you have anything else you want to share with me. The contact details are in the description of the episode. There is a link to a Facebook post where you can share your thoughts and all the contacts. Do not hesitate to follow the Interview with You Facebook page or me on Instagram at JoostJaska. Remember, both Jaska and Joost are spelled with J's. The European quirks, right? Anyway, go ahead and follow my social media so that you do not miss anything exciting. I look forward to hearing from you and to possibly having the next interview with you. It's all going to
dream.